Thank you, Sam, and thank all of you this morning who have come to worship God. How thrilling it is to be able to gather together in the presence of our Lord and certainly in the presence of friends and those of like precious faith to honor our God and to praise the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet in a very special way today to acknowledge motherhood in general. And to say to all of you that are moms in this audience, as Adam has already said, Happy Mother's Day. You know, I always look forward to this time because I believe that God has blessed motherhood. It was Abraham Lincoln who once said many years ago that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And I'm convinced of that. I believe with all of my heart that the shape of our nation and the destiny of our nation rests upon mom as well as dad. You know, we always talk about great leaders and how important it is to have great leaders in Washington, and I believe that very strongly, and I'm convinced of that. But you know what? We need great leaders in the home, and not only with father, but with mother as well. So I want to talk to you this morning on the subject of motherhood. The Bible has a lot to say about this subject. The Bible teaches us that in the very beginning of time that God chose a woman and brought her unto man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman." And God honored woman, and God has still honored womankind. And he has honored you this morning if you are a woman. Sometimes people say that we live in a male chauvinistic society and that, the world honors men, but they disregard the worth of a woman. But that really is not true. It should not be true, because I believe that God has used woman to accomplish many great and wonderful things in this world. You just stop and think about it. Where would we be in this world, in our society, without woman? Or without mom? I want to share with you what I have chosen to call this morning, Mother's Beatitudes. You know, we read in the early chapters of the book of Luke and also in the early chapters of the book of Matthew about the Beatitudes that Christ gave unto the human race. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. But this morning I want to talk about the Beatitudes of motherhood. And I hope that all of you, I hope this lesson will not just be for mothers, but it'll be for children, it'll be for fathers, and it will be for parents in general. I would tell you, first of all, blessed is the mother who understands her child, for she shall inherit a kingdom of memories. You know, if the truth were known this morning, each and every one of us have tremendous memories that are flowing through our mind about your early childhood. I can remember great and wonderful events in my childhood with my mom. And many of you already know that my mom died when I was a young man. I was 12 years old. But there are still very many wonderful memories that I cherish about my mother. And when my mom died and when my father died, the rest of the family chose to give me my mother's Bible. It is always one of my greatest treasures in my library of all the books that I possess. And I always go back every year and peruse through my mom's Bible because it's very special to me. My mother was a great Christian. She was one who loved God and who taught me to obey the Lord as well. She taught me the meaning of what it was to really be a child of God. But she was one who understood me. And that's why I've chosen to tell you this morning that one of the great blessings of motherhood is to understand your children. You may not always understand what they do and why they do it. But if you look at it from the standpoint of them being a child and you being a mom and one who oversees and guides and gives them direction, then there is that special insight, that special understanding that God gives unto moms, and he does. Now, fathers are unique, they are, but I have learned in life that generally, it is the mother sometimes to whom children often turn. You know, it used to amaze me on television. You don't see it so much anymore, but even in a pro football game, How many of you have ever watched on television when they would flash the camera, maybe on a pro football star, maybe a running back or a receiver who had just caught the ball, or maybe he had run for a touchdown, and he turns around and he says, "Hi, Dad." How many of you have ever seen that? And no, you probably have. I've never seen it. But I have always seen them say, "Hey, Mom," you know. And that's kind of the way they are. Because you know that Mom is going to exalt. She is going to lift you up. She is going to honor you. Did you know in the Bible, in the book of Exodus 20 and verse 12, that God says that one of the first commandments with promise is the commandment to honor your father and your mother. Now, Paul the apostle said that we are to honor them, that it may be long, that our days may be long upon the face of the earth. I told someone the other day, and I think I shared this on our television program this morning, that maybe one of the reasons for that is that your mom may beat you if you didn't honor her. I don't know. I had a friend one time who told me that his mother was the first exorcist that he ever knew. I said, "Really?" And he said, "Yeah, she beat the devil out of me." Well, you know, maybe that happened to you. I don't know. But I know one thing, that punishment is a part of our life. And had it not been for direction and guidance by a mom who understood us, there would be no memories. But we have some very wonderful and precious memories this morning because of Mom. There are some things that Mom can do that Dad cannot do. One day, and I read this the other day, that one day a man spotted a lamp by the roadside. He picked it up and he rubbed it vigorously and the genie appeared. You've heard all these stories. But anyway, the genie said, I will grant you your fondest wish. And the man thought about it for a moment and he said, "I want a spectacular job." He said that no man has ever succeeded at or has ever attempted to do. And poof, the genie said, "You will be a housewife." Well, there are some things that Mom can do that you cannot do. So blessed is the mother who understands her child, for you will be blessed and you will inherit a kingdom of memories. But let me share with you another one. Blessed is the mother who knows how to comfort her child, for she shall possess a child's devotion. You know, I remember when I was a child, maybe if I got hurt or bee stung or whatever it was, I never ran to my father. I always ran to my mother. I knew that she would comfort me. And my daddy would say sometimes to me, "Son, go on. It's all right. Everybody gets stung every now and then." But my mother would embrace me and love me and bless me and kiss it. And it always felt better. She knew how to comfort me. And you know what? Blessed is the mother who can comfort her children. That's why they always run to Mom. Sometimes fathers are not very comforting, but mothers are. And that's why the Bible says, by the way, children, again, obey your parents in the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. And honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the face of the earth. When you go back and you read the book of Proverbs chapter 31, and you read of that virtuous woman found there in those verses, about 21 verses, actually beginning in verse 10 down through about verse 31. King Lemuel, or Solomon, begins to extol the virtues of motherhood and womanhood. He begins to talk about this worthy woman. And she really becomes worthy because of the life that she lives. She is worthy because of the devotion that she has to God. But she is worthy because she knows how to comfort her family, the household. She will be blessed. In the book of Matthew, chapter 1, Mary was chosen of God to bear the Christ, to bring the Messiah into the world. And she was a handmaiden that was blessed of God. And she said, "Because of it, my soul shall magnify the Lord." And over, she magnified God. You know, we need mothers today who are ready to magnify the Lord in their lives and to honor to honor God with their lives. Blessed is a mother who guides by the path of righteousness, for she shall be proud of her offspring. You know, I don't think I could impress upon you enough this morning the importance of guiding your children as a mother. Because I'm telling you, folks, again, the destiny of our nation lays within your hands. Abraham Lincoln was right when he said that that hand that rocks the cradle will rule the world. It's true. God has entrusted into your care precious children. I told you one time, I think that I was driving down the road and I saw a big billboard up there, and you know, you've seen all these commercials that say, you know, yours for a limited time only, but it had a picture of a mother with her children. And underneath those children who were sitting in her lap and around her side was that caption, "Yours for a limited time only." You know, and I've never forgot that billboard. It lodged in my mind. It is still there as if it were yesterday. Because I think so often, isn't that the way it is with our children? Yours for a limited time only. You have those children today. You may not have them tomorrow. They may face an untimely death. And even if you have them, someday they will grow up and they will leave and they will be gone. And what they become in days ahead will rest primarily with you as a mother and what you did for your children. Two baby boys were born in the year 1889. And these two young men, believe it or not, would change the world, literally change the world. One was born in Austria to an abusive father and an indifferent mother who handed the child over to an aunt to raise after the husband's death. The 16-year-old dropped out of school, drifted from job to job, joined the military, and was imprisoned for leading an attempted insurrection. He became a political activist. The other little boy was born also in the year 1889 to a simple Texas family, God-fearing folks, who moved the child to a Kansas farm. The boy was taught prayer and Bible reading. Christian influences surrounded him, and the boy grew up strong, went to West Point, and then on to a career in the military. On June the 6th in the year 1944, the world watched these two do battle and combat in a war. For 11 months, Adolf Hitler's Third Reich battled the forces of Dwight David Eisenhower, commander of the Allied invasion force. And on April the 30th in the year 1945, Hitler died by his own hand in the rubble of Berlin. Much of the world cheered. 24 years later, Dwight David Eisenhower died, and the world mourned. What will be the destiny of your children? It is not so much what happens to them here, but where will they be when they leave this world? You know, I could not begin to convey unto you the horror that I could experience and would experience in my life if I had not done my best to help my children get to heaven. I'm going to tell you something, folks, this morning. That is your job, and that is the most important job you have. It's not so much helping your children get an education secularly, and they should. It's not so much and perhaps having them involved in everything under heaven's sun to the neglect of their spiritual welfare. So blessed is the mother who guides her children in the path of righteousness. And again, I refer you to the book of Proverbs chapter 31, to the virtuous woman. And Solomon asked the question, who can find the virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. But number four, blessed is the mother who teaches respect, for she shall be respected. You know, I hear a lot of moms say today, boy, I just wish my children respected me. I just wish that they had a little bit more respect for me. Sometimes I think in my mind and I wonder in my mind, how much respect do you have for your children? How much respect this morning do you have for your child? Do you respect them enough to love them and nurture them? Do you respect them enough to be with them and spend time with them? And I'm going to tell you something, folks. The most important thing you can do for your children is love them and be with them. It is not another toy. It is not more money. But it is time with your children. You know, of all the memorial services that I have preached through the years for people that died, I've had grieving parents come to me and say to me, I wish we had spent more time with our children. And even when those children grow up and they leave your home, you'll look back and you'll not say, I wish I had given them just a little bit more money. Or I wish that I had bought them what they really wanted for Christmas or for their birthday. But you know what you will say? You will say, and I can assure you, you will say this. If you don't verbalize it, it will be deep down in the reservoir of your heart. And you will say, I wish that I had spent more time with my children. So blessed is the mother who does. And who teaches her children respect, for she shall find the same. Blessed is the mother who emphasizes the good and minimizes the bad. You know, sometimes we are people who are prone to pick out the bad in everybody. I don't care who we are. We generally do that. We pick out flaws with people. We do. We generally are people that search for the bad, the evil, the things you don't like about people. Rarely do we reach out and search for the good that is in people. And you know what I've come to believe is that even in the worst of us, there is something that is worthwhile and valuable. Sometimes parents are prone to just pick out the bad things about their kids. I wish my kid did this. I wish my child did this. Instead of thinking about the good things that they do. You know, your relationship with your children could be a whole lot better if you really respected them in that way and you really tried to find the good in your children and try to accentuate the positive. And you know what? Children are like adults. We often run from storms, but we are attracted and drawn to the sunlight. And when someone is very positive and motivational with us and encouraging, those are the things that endear us to them, and we're drawn to them. Well, the same thing is true with children. That's why the Bible teaches us that we're to guide our children and to lead our children in the paths in which they should walk. Blessed is the mother who treats her child as she would be treated, for her home shall be filled with happiness. You know, one of the great lessons of Jesus was that of what we often call the golden rule, to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Now, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus wasn't just spitting out a bunch of words here, a bunch of rhetoric, but he was teaching us how to live life. He was teaching us how to make life better for all of us. And he says to those of us who are parents, you do the same. You treat your children like you want to be treated. Blessed is a mother who answers simply startling questions, for she shall be trusted. Now let me emphasize that just a minute. Because, you know, sometimes children come to us with questions about life. And you know what? They teach us a lot of things. Sometimes kids come to us with those probing questions and we're not real sure we ought to deal with those questions or answer them. Do you know many of the problems that we have in America today are attributed to the fact that parents, sometimes a mother, did not answer the questions of her children. And sometimes those questions can be very probing. Sometimes with children, when they come to ask you about the facts of life, about sex, and about immorality, sometimes we shove them away and we think we'll let that rest right now and we'll deal with that at a later moment. And what we do is we never discuss it, and where they learn about those issues, folks, are from the world, and they have a distorted view of what it's about. You know, I always told my girls, and I meant this, and I would tell my grandchildren the same thing. I would be very frank and very honest with them if they come to me with questions. And I would be very quick to discuss it with them. I want them to learn from a biblical view what is right and what is wrong. Not from a worldly view, but what God's Word teaches. And so when your children ask you questions about life, you better address them. Because if you don't have an answer for them, the world will. And most generally, the answer the world gives is not the right answer. Blessed is the mother who has character strong enough to withstand the thoughtless remarks and the resentments of a growing child. For in due time, she shall be honored. You know, sometimes children can hurt your feelings. They do. Sometimes children say things. Sometimes they do things. Sometimes they do not show the love and the affection that you want them to show. And I know how kids are sometimes. They think parents are old fogies. And sometimes they are, not always. But sometimes they are. I remember a number of years ago, kids like to be honored and esteemed sometimes more by their peers than they do by their parents. I'll never forget this. A number of years ago, we had an old station wagon. It was early on in my ministry, and we had an old station wagon, and I was taking Dana and Amanda, and it's probably going to embarrass them this morning, but I'm going to tell it anyway. They still love me. But anyway, we had an old station wagon, and it was my lot to take them to school in the morning. And it was down at the old Davy Crockett Junior High. I mean, y'all remember where Davy Crockett, many of you, I don't know what you're laughing about. You went to Davy Crockett Junior High, you know, most of you, or a number of you did anyway. Well, anyway, I was taking them down to school that morning. And we got this old station wagon. It was a used station wagon. It had a lot of problems, you know. And as we started approaching the school, and we had a carpool going, too, and we had some of the other kids in the car, and they were a little embarrassed about that, pulling up to pick them up in this old station wagon. But anyway, as we started approaching Davy Crockett Junior High, they say, "Dad, would you park back way back down here so the other kids won't see us get out?" I said, "What?" I said, "Would you par?" I said, "Well, what do you mean par? Hey, I'm proud of this old clunker." And I pulled up, and without really thinking about it, I saw how it really almost embarrassed them. So from then on, I parked way down by the other intersection. But I thought, in a way, you know, that really wasn't being very respectful of me, honoring their wishes. And but sometimes, you know, we don't treat one another like we wish others to treat us. I hope that all of us will work at trying to do better, though. Blessings do come to the mom who guides her children, who gives them direction, and who honors her children. You know, a lot of times we're quick to say, "Children, honor your mother and your father." But you know what? The principle is woven in the scripture, too, that you are to honor your children. The Bible says of young Timothy that he was taught by his mom. Doesn't he mention his dad? But it does mention the fact that, I don't know where he was, but it does mention the fact that he was taught by his mother and his grandmother, Lois and Eunice. and he was brought up in the way of God. You know, a mother will stand by you through thick and thin. There's a story told again out of World War II and the Holocaust that took the lives of millions of people. There was a man by the name of Solomon Rosenberg and his family. You may have never heard that name, but it really is a true story. Solomon Rosenberg and his wife and their two sons and his mother and father were arrested, and they were placed in a Nazi concentration camp. It was a labor camp, and the rules were simple. They said, as long as you do the work, you are permitted to live. But when you become so weak that you cannot do your work, then you will be exterminated. Rosenberg watched his mother and father march off to their death, and he knew that next would be his youngest son, David, because David had always been a frail child. Every evening, Rosenberg came back to the barracks after his hours of labor, and he searched for the faces of his family. And when he found them, they would all huddle together, embrace each other, and thank God for just another day of life. One day, Rosenberg came back and didn't see those familiar faces. He finally discovered his oldest son, Joshua, who was in a corner huddled, weeping and praying. And he said, "Josh, tell me it is not true." And Joshua turned and said, "It is true, Papa. Today, David was not strong enough to do his work, and they came for him." And Rosenberg said, "But where is your mother?" "Oh, Papa," he said, "when they came for David, he was afraid and cried. Mama said, 'There is nothing to be afraid of, David.' And she took his hand, and she went with him." You know, a mother will stand by you during the most difficult times. I have seen mothers stand over their children as they drew their last breath. I have been with them on occasions like that, and I have seen something that you will never, ever witness in your life until you see it. I would say to all the children in this audience today to love your mother. You too will be blessed of God. God will bless you. He will care for you if you honor her. And she can be taken away very quickly, just as you can. Sometimes mothers experience untimely deaths. I had no idea mine would leave so soon. But death is no respecter of persons. After 21 years of marriage, one man said, "I discovered a new way of keeping the spark of love. I went out with another woman." Now, don't get excited. It was my wife's idea. I told her I loved her too much to do that, but she said, "You ought to love this other woman too." Well, it all turned out fine because the other woman my wife wanted me to take to dinner was my mother. She had been a widow for 19 years, and I had tried to pay attention to her, but my own family of three children had made it impossible for me to visit with her more than just on an occasion or two. Now, I boldly called her up and asked for a dinner date and a movie. Her response was one of alarm. She said, "What's wrong? Are you feeling well?" You see, my mom was one who thought late night calls meant emergencies and trouble. I assured her that it was just for the two of us to be together. With her fears quieted, she accepted graciously. Once we were at the restaurant, she told me how excited all of her friends were to hear that we were having a date. We looked at the menu, but my mom needed help to read it because the print was too small. I helped her and she smiled, remembering how she used to read the menu to me when I was small and told her how much I needed her help. We talked so much that we missed the movie, but we didn't care. For when the date was over, my mother said the next date was on her. A few days later, my mother died of a massive heart attack. Later, I received a note from her in the mail, believe it or not. She had paid the bill in advance for our next date. She wrote, "I'm almost sure I won't make it, but one of the two plates I have paid for is for your wife." You will never know what that night meant to me. I love you. Sometimes we have a tendency to forget how important life and relationships really are. I hope this morning that each of us will count them sacred. I hope that each of us will choose to honor the one who brought us into this world. I have always chosen in my life, especially in my later years, to have great honor for the one who gave me life and the one who gave me my wife, my mother-in-law. I hope this morning that you will treasure the time that you have with each other. For that's what life really is all about, isn't it? It's not things, not money, not material objects, but it's relationships, for they endure. I hope this morning, if you're not a Christian, I hope at least in some way I've redirected your thinking away from what you might have considered to be important to what really is mundane and what really is important. And if you believe that this morning with all of your heart and you want to make a commitment to serve God and to become a Christian, then I'm going to tell you something. It will be the most important step you will ever take before God and before your children this morning. I would encourage you to obey the Lord, to come with a penitent heart, and that just means a heart that says, "I want to change and start trying to do what God wants me to do. I'm through living for the world. I'm through living for self. I want God to live in me, and I want the world to be able to see a new me." I hope you mean that this morning. And if you believe that, the way that you rid yourself of your sin and those past mistakes is just simply coming to God and asking the Lord in the act of baptism to forgive your sins. For he taught, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." And that promise is still true today, folks. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. But he does it when one is baptized into Christ. And if you were to go back on all the examples in the scripture of godly mothers and fathers, there were those who took that same step. It's not an easy one sometimes. Not an easy one to crucify self and say no to self and yes to God, but I hope it's one that you'll make this morning. I know one thing, that God empowers us with his strength and he enables us to live for him. And if you're a Christian maybe this morning, you're weak, you've made mistakes, you need the prayers of the Lord's church here, you need the forgiveness of God, won't you come this morning while we stand and while we sing?
Have you a heart that...
Thank you, Clint, and thank all of you for joining together tonight in worship.